Thank you, Doug, and I can't think of a finer song and certainly a finer sentiment than that one. Wherever our steps lead, may they lead, following our Lord. And we're so thankful and grateful for the presence of all of you there that are here this morning, and we have come together in the beauty of holiness to worship and honor our Lord God who is in heaven. You know, we have a lot of people in our world today that are so untrustworthy. Maybe someone has broken your trust at times in life. You know, our currency bears a little inscription, "In God we trust." But I'm afraid that too often in our lives as God's children, we don't really trust God as we ought to. This morning, I want to talk to you about the danger, and it is a danger, of trusting the wrong people or the people that are untrustworthy. And maybe the reason we do that is because we are so naive and we are so gullible. We believe everything that comes down the pike, or we believe anybody who says anything about life or living at all. Now, being trusting actually means to be easily persuaded to believe something. I have learned through the years that it is best to check things out. If someone says something, you better know for sure that what they're saying is true before you trust them or before you believe it. That's why I have made it my mission in life as a preacher of the gospel to challenge people to not only listen to what I'm sharing with you this morning, but check it out. You know, the Bible says that we're not to believe every spirit. 1 John 4 and verse 1. But that we're to prove or try the spirits whether they are of God. If someone is going to be your spiritual advisor or someone is going to be helping you find the way of truth or to live as God wants us to live, you better make sure that he knows the word and that he is not leading you astray. It means to be credulous in every way. Don't trust the internet anymore. You probably have learned that as well. The internet, even television, a lot of other things, are filling our minds with refuge. They're filling our minds with things that can hurt us and harm us more than help us. So we all have to be very, very careful. You know, it's the second mouse who gets the cheese, not the first one. So you better watch out. And you better listen to what is being said. And then trust God. Proverbs 3 and 6 says to trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not to your own understanding, but in all of your ways acknowledge him and he will direct your path. Someone said, one thing I have learned this year is to never, ever trust acupuncturists. They will stab you in the back the first chance they get. And it is true, isn't it? In 1 John 4, verse 5 and 6, the Bible says, they are of the world. What John is talking about is people who have made the commitment to Christ, but they have broken that commitment. They have chosen to go back into the world and live like the world lives. And John says they are of the world, therefore they speak, they of the world. And the world heareth them. But we are of God, and he that knoweth God heareth us, and he that is not of God heareth not us. Hereby know we the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Let me ask you a question this morning. How do you know the difference between error and truth? Jesus said in John 8:32 that you shall know the truth, and the truth shall set you free. When reading the 17th chapter of the book of John in verse 17, he says, sanctify them through thy truth, for thy word is truth. Jesus is called the way, the truth, and the life. He is called the faithful and the true, Revelation chapter 22. But a lot of people do not know the difference between truth and error, and so they are led to believe certain things that the Word of God does not teach. The Apostle Paul in the book of Galatians chapter 1 says, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you that has been preached unto you, let him be anathema or let him be accursed. Now what Paul was saying was that there are a lot of people out there preaching erroneous doctrines. Don't believe it. But how would you know whether it is right or whether it's wrong if you don't know the Holy Scriptures? I will tell you that truth and error do not mix. It's kind of like oil and water, you know. The oil kind of surfaces to the top. Truth will surface to the top. And never lie to someone who trusts you, and never trust someone who lies to you. Do you know when Jesus described for us through the pen of John in Revelation chapter 21, those that were going to go to hell, he said he included among the fornicators and the adulterers and the thieves and the extortioners, he included the word liars. Liars. Because there are many spiritual liars in the world that are perpetrating their lies in the name of Christianity, believe it or not. I want to talk to you this morning as we continue here about this idea of trusting, the danger of trusting the untrustworthy. We should be credulous, and being credulous can prevent us from knowing the truth. It can. Because if we are alert and we are watching, by the way, the word credulous defined as having or showing too great readiness to believe things. We ought to believe things when they're taught and when they are right. But don't be so quick that you are so gullible to believe everything that anybody says. The gullible are susceptible to believing anything that anyone might tell them about God. Now that's true, folks. Anybody who carries a Bible, or anyone that wears his collar around backward, or anyone who stands up and refers to himself as reverend, is denying the faith. We have some religions today that refer to their minister as father. And yet Jesus said, call no man father upon this earth. And what he's talking about there is in a spiritual sense. You don't honor him by calling him Father. Our Father is in heaven. And we are here to preach and declare the truth about that Father who is in heaven. But we have a lot of people that are prey for erroneous doctrines. And it would be very easy to bite in or get hooked on false doctrines. Matter of fact, the gamut is full. If you watch television at all, there are many channels, and I dare say almost every day on some channel, you could find some kind of religious programming that is not of God. We have people that are appealing to you to send your money, and they call it seed faith, and like you don't have any faith in God unless you're sending the money. You don't have any faith in God if you don't buy into what they are teaching and what they are upholding. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 3 says, but I fear lest somehow, as the serpent deceived or beguiled Eve by his craftiness, he says, so your minds may be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Christ. Consider what he says, simplicity that is in Christ. You know, God's plan is simple, isn't it? It's so easy to be understood. It's so easy to discern when you read the Bible and you understand that just believing in God doesn't save your soul. James said that the devils believe and tremble. So just because you believe that there is a divine creator somewhere does not save you. And yet we have a lot of erroneous doctrines that are being taught regarding that. And many of them are teaching that all you have to believe is acknowledge Christ, and once you confess Christ, you can never lose your salvation. Let me tell you something. If that's what you're banking your relationship with God on, you never had a relationship to begin with. The relationship doesn't begin until one is baptized into Christ. And when one gets into Christ and Christ gets into you or into an individual, we must then even live faithful unto God. Why do you think Jesus said in Revelation 2:10, "Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give you the crown of life," if it wasn't necessary to be faithful? Now, think about that one. Digest it. Feed on it just a little bit. For if he who comes preaches another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive a different spirit which you have not received, or a different gospel which you have not accepted, you may well put up with it. But you know what happens? You lose your soul. Now, secondly, we are warned about this danger of trusting the untrustworthy. In the 23rd chapter of the book of Matthew, Jesus referred to false prophets. You ever thought about this a minute? Consider this one. We have a lot of people today that say, well, you know, all you got to do to go to heaven is just be sincere. A lot of people say, all you got to do is just go to church. All you got to do is just give to God. All you got to do is just show up down at the church house whenever they meet. Is that what Christianity is all about? Not so. Not so. And Jesus said that many false prophets have gone out into the world, and thereby, notice what he says, many will be deceived. Peter essentially said the same thing in his epistle to the church in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. Many false prophets. Well, now, if everybody is okay because they're sincere, or if everybody is okay because they're religious-minded, where are the false prophets? If everybody's going to heaven, where are the false prophets that Christ talked about? And he called them untrustworthy. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that brought them up, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth is evil spoken of. And through covetousness they shall with feigned words make merchandise out of you. Christ constantly taught about the false doctrines that were being perpetrated in his name. The Bible says, beware of those false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, he says, but inwardly they're ravening wolves. And you will know them by their fruits. That's what we've been talking about in our Bible class here on Sunday morning. We are warned. Yes, we are warned. They say peace and safety when there is no peace and safety. 2 Peter 2, verse 18 and 19. For when they speak great swelling words of vanity, they allure through the lust of the flesh. I mean, think about it, folks. If all these religious prognosticators are telling you, if you become a Christian, that from now on you will never have another problem in your life, all will be well, and you will live happily ever after, why wouldn't you buy into something like that? Why wouldn't you buy into a theology that says, just become a Christian and everything from this moment on in your life will be bliss? It will be a utopia. But that's not what Christ taught at all. They will allure through the lust of the flesh, through much wantonness. Those that were clean escape from them who live in error, While they promise them liberty, they themselves are the servants of corruption. But I have learned in life that many people would prefer a lie. That's true. You go to a doctor and a doctor tells you got cancer. Say, oh no, don't tell me that. Or you got heart disease. Oh no, don't tell me that. Lie to me. Make me feel better. Sometimes people come to church with the same attitude, don't they? They don't want an exposition of sin. They don't want the preacher to talk about the ungodly nature of the way some people live. But tickle my ears. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 10 through 12. Because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved, for this cause shall God send them a strong illusion that they should believe a lie. Now, do you know what? God will do exactly what you want that doctor to do. You want that doctor to lie to you? Listen to me. God will send you a strong delusion. In other words, you want to believe a lie? Believe a lie. That's what he's saying. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. If you want to reject the truth and you don't want to live by the truth, God will allow you to do it. And he'll even delude your hearts if that's what you choose to do. And we have a lot of bleeding hearts today over moral issues. What's moral and what's immoral? We got a lot of folks that say everything is moral when it's not moral. Not according to the Bible. But when they had pleasure in unrighteousness, the Bible says that they will be damned. Why would we be so gullible in life? In Matthew 7, verse 15 through verse 20, Jesus talked about the false shepherds, and they say good things. Many things which you would agree with. You know, that's the way the devil works, isn't it? He tries to get as close to the truth as he possibly can, so you'll believe it. If I had a cubic zirconia up here and I had a diamond in this hand, would you be able to tell with the naked eye the difference between a real diamond and a cubic zirconia? No, you couldn't. Jewelers tell us that. That's why they always look through that little old magnifying glass to be able to tell. But there are a lot of people that are looking out in the world for truth, but they only found a cubic zirconia. Spiritually. And they are so deceptive. They are. But thirdly, do not trust men or angels who teach another gospel. We have so many today in our country and in our world, actually, who are searching for another gospel. Many of them say the gospel of Jesus Christ is outdated. We got to modify it. We got to change it. We got to liberalize it. We got to make it something that it isn't today. And God warns against such changes in 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 4. He said, though we are an angel from heaven, even if the demonic forces of heaven were to send an angelic force down here on this earth and start preaching things that you won't find in the Word of God, the Bible says the Greek word is anathema. Let him be anathema. And that means let him be cut off. Let him be accursed. Now that's what God says. What about this one? Trust me. I'm a politician. I've told you before how politicians sleep. I don't know if you remember. They lie on one side and then they lie on the other. But we have a lot of people today that say that. We need to take note of what you hear on television, what the media says, how deceiving, how corrupt they are. And they are corrupt. We have politicians that are corrupt. And that deceive many people and the American public. If you choose to believe them, even when they are untrustworthy, you have a real issue. The Bible says that we're to prove all things. There's nothing wrong with proving. I'm going to tell you something. I'll stack up everything I say in this pulpit with the Word of God. I've told you that before. In 1 John 4:1, again, don't believe everybody, but prove them. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 21 says, to prove all things and to hold fast that which is good. Some say, just trust yourself, then you will know how to live. No, you don't trust yourself. I was telling them in Bible class this morning about a song that we sing. I can't remember the name of the song, but I remember the name of the verse. And it says, the arm of flesh will fail you. You dare not trust your own. It is not true. But you've heard people say that. Just follow your heart. Just follow your heart. Well, if your heart's not right with God, you better not follow it. That's why the Bible says that we're to love God with all of our heart, with all of our soul, with all of our mind, and with all of our strength. You give your heart to God. Don't trust in yourself. A man who trusts in himself is very foolish. And that brings us to point number 4. You can't trust yourself. We can't trust ourselves. In Proverbs 14 and verse 12, the Bible said, there is a way that seems right to man, but the end, or its end, is the way of death. That's why you don't trust yourself. But we have a lot of people say, oh, I know I'm right. I feel it right here in my heart. Who gave you that feeling? Did it come from God, or did it come from Satan? Who told you it was right? I suppose, and I know God did ask Adam and Eve in the garden, when God asked them why they were hiding, they said, we're naked. And he said, who told you you were naked? You know what? We ought to be asking ourselves, who told you? Who told you it was right when it was wrong? Who told you that it was trustworthy when it wasn't trustworthy? Satan beguiled Adam and Eve. Proverbs 12 and 15 says, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. Even the Ethiopian in Acts chapter 8 who's riding along in his chariot, and Philip joined himself to the chariot, and he said, do you understand? He was reading from Isaiah 53. He said, do you understand what you're reading? And he said, how can I unless some man should guide me? Proverbs 19:20 says, hear counsel and receive instruction that you may be wise in your latter end. You know, many of our young people today are so gullible. They believe anything and anybody. The older we get, the wiser we ought to become. Oh Lord, I know the way of man's not in himself. It's not in man who walks to direct himself. Jeremiah 10 and verse 23. That's why God is called to lead us. That's why David in Psalms 23 said, he leads me beside the still water. I didn't find it myself, but he led me here. And he restores my soul. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? So how can we say, distrust your heart? Don't worry about trusting God. Distrust your heart. You know, it's easy to be sincerely wrong as it is to be sincerely right. We can trust God because of who God is. Not hard for me to trust someone who's omniscient, that is, knowing all things, and that's God. It's not hard for me to trust someone who is omnipresent. In other words, He is everywhere. He's in the heavens. He's down here with us. He is gathered with us, according to Matthew 18, verse 1 and 2, right here this morning in this assembly. It's not hard for me to trust the omnipotent one, the one who is all-powerful and the one who is eternal. He is just. He is loving, He is merciful, and above all, He is truth. Let me tell you something. We all make a mistake saying this. That the Bible is, you know, contained in the Word of God is God's plan for us. No, this Bible is God's plan. The Word isn't just found in the Bible. The Bible is the Word. And David said, "Your word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." And I'm going to tell you something, folks, this morning. It is better for us to be divided by truth than to be united in error. It is. But we got a lot of people today that believe it. It's okay. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. In Psalms 139, however, verse 7 through 9, David says, "Whither shall I go, or whither shall I flee from thy spirit? Or whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend into the heavens," he says, "thou art there. Or if I make my bed in Sheol or in hell, behold, thou art there. And if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there shall thy hand lead me, and your right hand shall hold me." I'm going to tell you something, folks. God's proven Himself trustworthy, both in a positive way and in a negative way. He positively tells us how we are to live. He negatively tells us how not to live. Hebrews 6 says, "For when God made promise to Abraham, because he could swear by no greater, he sware by himself, saying, surely blessing I will bless thee, and multiplying I will multiply thee. And so, after he had patiently endured, he obtained the promise." That was trustworthy. "For men verily swear by greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them an end of all strife." Let me ask you this morning, is God your anchor? Is He the one in whom you put your trust? Well, God's not a man, as Moses would write in Numbers 23, that he should lie. God's not going to lie to you. "Neither the Son of Man, that he should repent, hath he said, and shall he not do it?" In other words, if God promised something, he's going to do it. He's going to keep his promise. "Or hath he spoken, and shall he not make it good?" There may be a lot of folks in this world you can't trust. Preachers, politicians. But you can trust God. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God, which keepeth covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments. Listen to this, to 1,000 generations. It will always be true. But in Matthew 7, Jesus says, many of you know that there are some serious problems, one translation says, with our faith, such as materialism, worldliness, compromise, liberalism, greed, and sexual perversion. However, one of the gravest dangers is doctrinal corruption and lying spirits, Jesus says. Beware of misguided false prophets who claim to speak for the Lord. You know, we got a lot of people today that believe that God directly speaks to us. Now, I think he speaks to our heart. He gives us wisdom to follow his word. But he has given us a direct revelation right here. This is the direct revelation. And the Bible says in Revelation 22, verse 18 to 19, we're not to add to it, and we're not to take away from it in any form or fashion. Deuteronomy says we're not to diminish aught from it. Don't take away from it. It will always be true. Romans 3, verse 3 and 4, for what if some did not believe? Will their unbelief make the faithfulness of God without effect? No, not at all. God forbid, Paul says. God's going to keep his word. And so if you choose to go to heaven or you choose to go to hell, that's a choice that you make, and God will honor his word. He will let you go to hell if that's what you choose to do. Or he will allow you to go to heaven, but it is based upon your choice. God's already made his choice. The entirety of your word is truth, David said, and every one of your righteous judgments will endure forever, Psalms 19. You see, true faith in God says what God says, doesn't it? For all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good word. And if that is true of the Bible, it is true now. It hasn't changed. It hasn't. But when we add or we erase part of the Bible, then it is no longer truth. You can't treat the Word of God like you were at a cafeteria and you go through and you have a little of this or maybe a little of that or a little of this over here. You either take the whole ball of wax or you don't. And when Christ says, he that believeth shall be saved, that's right, he's got to believe. But that's not where he stops in Mark 16. For he says, he that believeth and is baptized, listen to this, shall be saved. You have two elements. Even if you were to diagram a sentence, you'd understand it. Two things, belief and baptism. Repent and be baptized. And is tying those two together with a conjunction. And be baptized. In order to be saved, that's a direct object, folks, salvation. And it comes only to those who are penitently believers in Christ, who obey his gospel. You know, and I've told you before, and I'll tell you again, I'm telling you the truth. You don't believe it? Go to the Word of God. I want you to go to the Word of God. I don't want it to end here. Every time I get up and speak, I hope people challenge me. Go back and read the Bible. Find out if it's not so. I've had friends through the years who became obedient in baptism and started serving God. And they told me, they said, you know what? I went to the Bible trying to prove you wrong, and I ended up proving you right. The Bereans were more noble than those of Thessalonica. in that they receive the word of God with all readiness of mind, and they search the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. And therefore, many of them believed. Ephesians 4 and 14 says, we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. Because there are people that are plotting to get you, folks. And many people buy into the lure of false doctrine. Beloved, since you know this beforehand, beware lest you fall from your own steadfastness, being led away with the error of the wicked. But grow in the grace and the knowledge of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. He is the Son of God. So don't believe everything you hear. Test it for its scriptural validity. And when you do that, and if you find it to be true, obey God. Trust the word. Prove all things. Search the scriptures like the Bereans did. And being credulous can prevent us from knowing the truths. The gullible are susceptible to believing anything that comes down the road, or what people tell you about God. We should only place our faith in the Word of God. It is the only standard for us to believe, to teach, and to practice. And we are to examine everything we are taught in light of that one thing. In our country, so quick, we're getting ready to celebrate America's birthday, but our country is so quick to make sure that we are constitutionally right. Any bill that goes to the House of Representatives or to the Senate or to cross the president's desk, we make sure that it is constitutionally correct. Why would we not do the same thing with our spiritual life? Hurt me with the truth. Don't comfort me with a lie. The way of salvation is very simple. The Bible tells us how we're to worship God. The organization and the work of the church, 1 Timothy 3, verse 1 and following. What we believe and what we practice, 2 Timothy 3, is based upon truth. In order to be justified, it's not just hearers but doers of the word that will be justified, according to Romans chapter 2. We must trust God and we must obey Him. We sing the song, but do we practice the Bible? While we do His good will, He abides with us still. Sometimes we have to rely upon God to get us out of the maze of life. When we're going through difficulties, God is saying, trust me. And I'm asking you this morning, if you believe with all your heart that Christ really is the Son of God and you're allowing Him to lead you, would you follow Him as He leads us through the steps of New Testament baptism as well? For he that believes and is baptized shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be condemned. So I appeal to you this morning to come to Christ. No longer live in jeopardy of losing your soul. And if you're a Christian and you're not living in the life that honors God, have the intestinal courage and fortitude to make the change that needs to be made this morning while we stand and while we sing.